Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Welcome back, folks, to the Membership Machine Show. This is episode 181. In this episode, we're going to be talking about why your Premier WordPress host isn't fixing your slow site. There's various reasons why that might be happening. I'm going to give you some pointers and some insights and advice. Should be a great show. I've got my co-host with me, Kirk. So, Kirk, would you like to introduce yourself to the listeners and viewers?
Yeah, my name is Kurt von Annen. I own an agency called Manana No Mas, and we do a lot of great work with the WP Tonic team.
That's fantastic. What should we say before we go into specific points? What should be our introduction to this discussion, Kurt?
I almost think the introduction to this should be like, before you have a conversation about website speed, page speed, however you phrase that, you want to have an understanding of what game you're playing and what field you're playing on. I have a feeling a lot of people are just led completely astray. You know, you look at the Google page speed report and you get one impression. You look at other tools, you get a different impression. And then I think we anchor ourselves or we benchmark ourselves against products that aren't in the same ballpark. And because we don't get the same results, we get frustrated. And I think we have to have a very realistic approach to what our expectations should be and then work within those expectations.
Well, yeah, I totally agree with you, but I think I totally understand why this causes so much confusion and aggro. Basically, if you're running a membership website or a community-focused website and you've got any kind of membership, I would say, I'm going to be bold here, I would say about 90% of the hosting that's offered out there isn't going to be that suitable for it, and you're going to have a kind of crazy, miserable experience. And this applies to some of the leading quality providers, not because they're rubbish. It's just that they're not set up for a membership community website needs or functionality. And I'm going to go into some specific reasons why they're not set up. It's a bold statement, but I would say about 90%, especially on the cheap to medium end. Now, when you add marketing automation and a few other large plugins, it's not that they're bad, you know, like they say, like Fluent CRM or Cadence or Lifter LMS. If you add some large plugins to the mixture, they're well coded, they're well respected, but they're large plugins and that they require good quality hosting and more resources than what a small business marketing website needs. It's just a fact of life. How would you respond, Kurt?
Well, I think as we start to have this discussion today, I just want to encourage listeners, think about some of the other conversations you may have had in the space where someone might say, oh, I always put the marketing site on the main URL, but then I use subdomains for X, Y, and Z. Or I split things up in this way or that way. Those are people that have experienced, you know, a poor experience, and they're thinking to themselves, well, I got to keep the marketing site clean, pure, fast, and then anything that has performance issues, I just mask and put on a subdomain or move it or whatever. And those are earmarks of people that have not taken a very sound, cohesive approach to the tools that Jonathan's talking about. When he says that Lifter LMS is like a resource-hungry tool, yeah, and again, doesn't mean that the product's bad. It means it's a resource hungry tool. Like Buddy Boss is a resource hungry tool. It does a ton of stuff and it has the features that people want, but it takes a ton of resources to run it. And think about it from the hosting perspective. If a host can run 1,000 other, you know, 5-page brochure websites efficiently, effectively, you know, for pennies on a dollar, why would they voluntarily give you extra resources because you chose to use a resource heavy tool? That's kind of like the status that's kind of like where we're coming from in this. And so I think Jonathan's got some really good notes here to try and bring everybody up to speed on, hey, what's required, what's a proper expectation, and how to build around some of this.
Yeah. So I think with our introduction, we've dealt with point one I was going to make. It's just that different types of websites built on WordPress or anything else is going to require different types of hosting infrastructure. It's just the reality. And that would be the same if you were running e-commerce. But actually, a membership community website needs more resources than a e-commerce website using WooCommerce. So if you add WooCommerce, Lifter LMS, Fluent CRM, or Fluent their own shopping cart, these are meaty plugins, these are meaty applications. And they just need a lot more resources. Now, what I'm going to say next affects some of the premier hosting providers like Rocket, like Kinsta, like WP Engine, and that's caching. Now, caching and a CDN, but both these type of technologies for your typical marketing website, they're great technologies. You know, they will help make your website perform significantly better if you've got caching provided by the hosting provider or caching. I say that, but it's normally best if you're with a reasonably quality hosting provider, to either they will use a specific plugin, a custom-made plugin, or they will use something else, and they will install it. And it's not a good idea to start installing your own caching plugins. Or they will provide a CDN. It is not a good idea to install a third-party plugin that's provided a CDN. But when it comes to membership websites, caching, if it's not set up correctly, is a nightmare. It truly is a nightmare for a membership website when somebody is logging in and trying to utilize the lessons and courses. It's just going to be a nightmare. What you got to say about this, Kurt?
I think people need a better description, Jonathan, of what's actually happening. So caching is basically taking snapshots of your website and storing them all over the globe so that wherever someone's closest to a snapshot, that's the version of the website that they see. And so what we're describing as, you know, e-commerce or e-learning or any of the, these are called dynamic websites, meaning people are interacting with them. They're not just serving static content. The content changes based on the activity of the user. It makes it a dynamic website. And so if someone is signed into the website, you know, and they're seeing a cached version of it from Germany, but something's been updated, you know, in Florida, they're not seeing the most recent version. And so when Jonathan says there's like user issues, what typically happens, and remember, I do a lot of support with Lyft or LMS, so I can tell you what happens when people misuse caching. If they misuse the caching, someone signs up for a course, then they go to log in and they can't get logged in. They're told they don't have an account. They go to re-register and it says, well, you can't register. This email already exists. You know, they get like in these weird loops where the user experience is totally befuddled because they're not seeing a current version of the website and the website's database. They're seeing a snapshot of the video from some other server somewhere around the globe. And so that's why dynamic pages like WooCommerce, like Lyft or LMS, like BuddyBoss, you wouldn't cache that content. So that's why the caching wouldn't help you, you know, in a page speed quest.
Yeah, thanks for that. I think it's a good place for us to go for our middle break. When we come back, we've got three or four other points to make that will make you better educated about making a choice when it comes to hosting your membership community website. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
WP Tonic is sponsored by Jetpack. Managing WordPress sites shouldn't mean stitching together a pile of disconnected plugins. Jetpack brings security, performance, publishing, growth, and AI tools together in one WordPress native toolkit. Use what you need. Backup, scan, boost, social, video press, stats, and more. All with modernized dashboards built into WP Admin. For your site or your client's sites, see what Jetpack can do. Jetpack.com. WP Tonic is sponsored by Ninja Forms. And let's talk about one of their powerful tools, conditional logic. Conditional logic is the clearest example. Every rule for the whole form lives in one panel instead of being buried field by field. On client work, build speed and low maintenance are part of your margin. A form that is fast to configure and that a client can run afterward without coming back means less friction during the build and less support load after the handoffs. Ninja Forms, powerful and genuinely easy to work with without being dumbed down. To learn more, go to ninjaforms.com.
We're coming back, folks. Also want to point out, I do a great free newsletter. You can go, it covers one of these subjects that we discuss in the show in a bit more detail. Plus, I do a curated list of the best stories, tech stories that come on my radar every week. I set it all up myself. It's totally free. You get it by going over to wp-tonic.com/newsletter. wp-tonic.com/newsletter. So next one, PHP workers. Now caching, great thing, but most, especially when a membership site starts to get more than half a dozen users, and it does depend what the dynamics of the course. Is it very heavily orientated to interaction? There's going to be a lot of back and forth, data going to the user and then data going back. And that depends on the type of courses that are constructed. If somebody has just got some reading and they're just watching a video, that's not going to be so dynamic. But if they're interacting with the course, that's going to be more demanding. And that interaction is controlled by something called PHP workers. And especially on the lower level hosting providers, cheaper, anything below $25, between $35 and $25, you're really going to see a decline in the amount of PHP workers that they provide. And the setups they're going to have won't allow them to increase the workers. You're either going to have to go up to a higher plan. And a lot of the time, they're reluctant to tell you how many PHP workers is provided. But that's why PHP workers is important. What's your take on this, Kurt?
I think the key part of what you just said is that not many are going to be quick to disclose, you know, how they actually set up your account or how they manage your hosting instance, right? Your package. This is something, and I'm going to be very transparent right now, Jonathan, you might be surprised, but I really don't understand some of the garbledygook when I am trying to compare different hosting packages, especially if I'm talking with a client and the client's like, well, I need to know if we're going to have this as part of the, you know, that's included in the hosting. I'm like, where's that coming from? And then I go to these hosts and you look at their sales material and you're like, okay, that's cool. They got some numbers and some this much RAM and this much this and this much that. But how's my website really going to perform in this instance? You know, like how many PHP workers do I have? What kind of support do I get? And those answers aren't given in the marketing material. Sometimes you got to dig a little harder, especially if you're going to try and compare services.
Yeah, it is confusing. With some of the higher ones, they like Redis database and they object caching and this and that. Really great for really top end when you've got thousands of users. The truth is it's a bit overkill for the majority of membership. It's more at, you know, what type of server you're on, how much RAM, what CPUs they're using, is it a modern hard drive, you know, that they're using, and the PHP workers, some of the other that are listed in the topper end that specialize in membership and community really only kick in if you've got the most demanding websites. They're not bad, but and it makes me laugh when like they list like I'm going to say something and I've bit my tongue actually. So let's go on to the other one. This is all great stuff that we've talked about so far, but you can have the best quality hosting and the best support going, and I think we really do. I know Kirk does. And my team does, we go above the call of duty in the amount of, we do offer support plans, and there is a line where if somebody's consistently asking us something, they really got to sign up for a support plan, right? Because they're asking stuff that is not really involved with hosting, or, you know, why Fluent CRM isn't sending email. But if it's around the sending out, we'll probably investigate it because it could be a hosting problem. But there's definitely a lot of stuff that's not, is out the bounds of hosting. But get back to it. If you've got multiple different types of plugin, and we do provide a staging site, and really, you really want to try out your plugins on your staging site and do the updates on the staging site. Does this really matter if you haven't got one student yet or you've only got half a dozen students? It probably doesn't really matter. If you've got 30, 50, 100 students, it really does matter, right? It just depends where you are on your journey. So we don't automatically tell people and we do provide staging sites, but we don't enforce it because if they're starting out, they've got enough on their plate, right? But if you just keep installing plugins and you get up to 70, 100 plugins and you just keep installing more and more plugins, you're going to, the best hosting going, it's going to slow down and they're going to come to you and they're going to say you need an upgrade. And if you're not making any money, you haven't even got your first student, you're going to push back because you're not making any money. So it's a difficult situation and you tend to lose a client. So we try and avoid it. But you just can't keep installing stuff and more stuff, and where you should be concentrating on getting the initial setup and getting some students. What do you reckon, Kurt?
Well, there's so much that goes into a badly set up website. I mean, I'm literally dealing with that this week, and that is, you know, built the platform, put the right tools in, everything should be fine, everything's configured. They start complaining about, you know, performance, or what I got back as a support ticket was, you know, bad site structure. And I was like, bad site structure? What are they talking about? And Jonathan, you go in there and it's like, you know, this is a website equipped with Fluent Forms. And then they say, well, this form doesn't work. And I go, what form? And they say this form. And I look in Fluent Forms and that form's not in there. And I go, well, I don't know how you built this form, but the form you're saying doesn't work ain't part of the default form tool. I don't know how you built this, but this ain't even part of the website. Like, you put something in the website, but it's not configured. It's not configured to anything. It doesn't work. It's like people that, you and I both know there's a difference between professional level work and like hobbyist level work. And sometimes I go into these sites and I'll say, well, my page speed is down and this isn't right. I need to optimize. And I'll talk about, you know, and they think optimizing like SEO optimization, like there's some magic black art to it. But you go in there and it's like, well, if you're trying to play, you know, high density, you know, high resolution video is the background of your hero, you know, section in your thing. Well, that's a bad move. When you start looking at picture files and the files are big enough to plaster, you know, signs on the highway, you're like, look, people are looking at this on a 15-inch screen. And you're using a resolution that a printer would use if they were going to make a billboard on the highway. Like, you have to appropriately size your assets so that the server's resources can do their job. And so a lot of times what I find, Jonathan, is you're right. Like, the quality hosting doesn't make up for a badly set up website. But even if the website is set up well, if the client doesn't manage, you know, their digital assets, their visual assets within that setup, they're in the same hole. It's there's so much to building a good performing, good experience, user experience website that it's weird because we see it all the time where the marketing says WordPress is easy, or it's democratized publishing, or it's, you know, anybody can do it. AI makes it simple. And what we're finding is more and more and more, having a professional in the loop is the only real option to getting something that performs well.
Well, it depends on who that individual is, isn't it? There's an enormous span in price and quality. If you're just getting somebody off Fiverr, or you're just getting somebody off Upworks, the quality that you might be dealing with is very diverse. I'm going to leave it at that. And really, it's open market. You've got to do your research. It's better to get, you know, if you're going to go there, it's better to get a recommendation, in my opinion. Or at WP Tonic, we offer a very inexpensive support and maintenance package. But people are very resistant, so I don't push it. But there's definitely, because we do help a lot more than we should, but there's definitely a line which we won't go over. And that's taken time for me to understand where that line is. Great flexibility, great ownership of your intellectual property, being able to build something that you have the maximum control over, does have some responsibilities. But I can honestly tell you, if you avoid getting too much in the weeds initially, installing too much, thinking you're going to sell products even when you haven't even got your first member, avoid all this complication, which is okay as you go along your journey, but is a mistake, and it ends up making your life complicated. We give a really great setup package at WP Tonic. We configure it all. If you use one of our starter websites, it's all configured, it's all set up. You can do the odd changes, you can change the colours, and then you'd be off, set up your Stripe, and you're off, aren't you, Kirk? But a lot of people overcomplicate it at a too early a stage, don't they?
Well, and you couldn't have been truer in what you just described. I mean, real life example, our agency launched a new e-learning client just this week, a formal launch. We did a soft launch a month ago, proof of concept, did the real launch this week. They had thousands of people on an email list. We you know, scrubbed that list properly before we used it. We've sent out thousands of emails this week. We've been able to track conversions. By all accounts, this is a very successful launch, and we know that the project is going to be successful, which is really fun. But I think what I really want to drive home is when we look at how this website was put together, Jonathan, it's like out of the box. There's no real customizations. It's like Lifter LMS, Fluent CRM, Fluent Form, integrate the three together, and now let's just fill the thing with content, quality content, and then market it. Like it's not confusing. It's not involved. We didn't have to consult AI for custom code. Like I keep hearing customers use the term vibe code with me, and they're new in the space. And like, well, I want to vibe code some features for this. And I'm like, why? Like it works out of the box. Like out of the box, launch something simple. And as it grows, if you want to add features or add elements or use feedback from students to go, oh, my students think it'd be really cool if it did X, Y, and Z. Well, then you can build that downstream when you have revenue, traction, and momentum. But to do that before you launch and before you have revenue coming in, to me, is just silly. And you and I have had this private conversation multiple times, and I don't know if we could say it enough publicly. Out of the box and simple is a beautiful recipe for success.
Updating plugins and themes shouldn't feel risky. That's why over 300,000 WordPress users trust WP Rollback. With just a click, you can safely roll back any plugin or theme. No manual file uploads and no downtime. And with WP Rollback Pro, you can download premium plugins and themes. Tools like Elementor, Gravity Forms, and more. Track every rollback you do with detailed activity logs. Protect your workflow and take the stress out of updates. Learn more at WPRollback.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code PODCAST20. That's PODCAST20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
Especially at WP Tonics, we set everything up for you.
We
provide Fluent CRM. We connect it with SendGrid. With Cadence, you can build a landing page really easily. And with one of our starter themes, you can be up and running really quick. But then when you move on, you have got the flexibility of now linking Claude or AI coding with your WordPress website. Yeah. And I would strongly advise you to only do that on a staging website. And then after you've built something, move it to production. Obviously, there's security, but security is always, we spend a lot of money. Kirk knows I spend a lot of money on a top-notch security platform. Not only is the hosting top-notch and it's patched and patched regularly, but I also spend a lot of money on a third-party system that's the best in the market. And I do that because it was the right thing to do. But I do spend a fair bit of money on security, so we're very anal when it comes to security and backup. Kind of overlap. The final thing is avoid what in the trade is called a Frankenstein website, and there's absolutely no need to end up with one. just have it built out. Try and get your first students, do your first marketing, get market fit. And then you've got a website that if you want a feature, you've got AI coding, you've got maybe getting another plugin. You won't be trapped in somebody else's platform. I think in some ways WordPress with AI coding is one of the best platforms out there, because I haven't said this too much publicly because obviously people say you're biased, but I don't think I've lost my rationality. But I really think with the 20 years that WordPress has been around and it's a solid platform, and combining it with AI coding, you're getting best of both worlds, really. And I think a lot of people are going to really start to realise that in the next 18 months. So in some ways I'm quite excited, because I think the bigger question is, it doesn't affect membership and e-learning so much, but it's more about, we're in the final thought stage here now, folk, is how important, and like I say, I don't think it's going to affect e-learning. I think you need a hub or e-community, as I call it, e-learning, e-community, when you're building and you're combining both together. I don't see that effective in what I'm just about to say. I think in a lot of other areas, we are going to get a lot less traffic to the website. But really, that traffic should be more ready to buy our service and products, because they're going to be influenced by our videos, our social media, our going to community events, whatever factor that influences them. But then your website still needs to convert. Because the most based on, I'll be interested in what your views. People think a website is there to get customers, right? It isn't, in my opinion. The blogs, articles, whatever, videos, whatever on the website, through whatever search using traditional Google or AI, OpenAI, Perplexity, whatever, GWT, whatever they're using, right? But when they get, if they're a real customer, a real possible purchaser, the real purpose of your website is to overcome objections, because they're looking for, you've been in sales a lot more than me, but hopefully you would agree. If you don't, it's no problem, But I think when somebody, if people have done a lot of research and they're coming in to buy something, they're looking for reasons not to buy. They're looking for reasons to say that this is the right product, this is the right service, I made the right decision. And that's because their actions are very different to somebody that might be at some stage, because they read everything. They go over the website. And if you've got a tracking tool on your website, you'll see that. They literally go over the whole, they spend 20, 30 minutes on the website going over everything. Right, it's a very different behaviour than somebody that might at some stage be interested in purchasing something. What do you reckon?
Well, I think it's changed a lot, and I think that's something that people need to be aware of. I think, looking back 15, 18, 20 years ago, yeah, a website did sell. A website got attention. But now it seems like social media referrals, shorts on YouTube, which is social media, that seems to be like the selling. That seems to be like the net that you throw that net out, and they're kind of already making their intent. If we listen to the propaganda that Google says now, it's like, no, it's not that we've cut your traffic. It was never your traffic to begin with. We're only sending people, we're only referring your website when there's purchase intent. We're only referring your site to people that have, you know, high intent. And so if we start to believe that, then Jonathan's correct. And in fact, I'll say the last client that I met with locally, she was a direct referral. And when I met with her, she said, A, I was referred to you. B, I looked you up on the internet and I saw all the podcasts and all the stuff that you're in. Then I went to your website and she goes, and after I visited your website, I just knew that you're the people we want to do business with. Right. And it's so it, on one hand, you know, I look at, wow, I just paid some guy a ton of money to help me write the copy on my homepage. And part of me is like, was it worth it? But then the other part of me goes to a meeting and someone says, then I read your homepage and I knew what you're who I wanted to do business with. Well, then that says, yeah, it was worth it. Like, and I know this about Jonathan. Maybe he won't divulge it on air, but I'll divulge it for him. He is absolutely maniacal about wanting to change headlines over and over and over again on the homepage, on different pages within the website. Hey, let's change this word out. Let's change this. Let's change this phrase. We'll build you a website in 30 days. Well, now let's build a website in less than 14 days. We've always tried something different because we want to measure. Hey, what's creating?
In defense, I have slowed down a bit.
but it's all about conversion. And I think a lot of people lose sight of that, right? It really, once people get to your website, by all intents and purposes, they should have some type of intent. And now it's your job to solidify that intent. Like Jonathan says, overcome the objections and close the deal.
They are in very turbulent times when it comes to online. There are some patterns appearing now. I think there's marketing methodologies that will work. I know I'm getting my plans in hand, but I needed to get the content on the website sorted. I had to get the website to a level. There's no point in doing the kind of marketing that I'm thinking of doing until I've got the website sorted out. And that takes time. That doesn't happen overnight. That's taken about three to four or five months to get it. But I think, and that's what you should be spending. We're coming back because you might think, oh, they've gone off topic. We haven't, because that's where you should be spending your time on.
Mm-hmm.
The message, the landing page, the home page, the About Us page, does it resonate with your target student base? Will it persuade them? When you're making those short videos, when you're going on those podcasts, when you're doing that post on LinkedIn, when you're posting that video on LinkedIn, you're doing that TikTok, when they go to your website, is it the right message? And people just mess around with functionality and back-end plugins and turn a kind of quasar Frankenstein instead of really focusing on the message of their key pages on their website. Would you agree with that, Kurt?
Well, yeah, and the core message there is if you create yourself one of these Frankenstein websites that we've described, you have negatively affected part of the message, which is the page speed. Like if you're
sorry to interrupt you, but thank you. I forgot to, you're so right. Kirk's.
Yeah. Sorry. Part of the message is how the content is served. And so if someone's got to wait 3, 5, 6, 8 seconds for your page to load, you've lost that customer no matter what the copy says.
Oh, and it's worse than that because it's proven there's a lot of misinformation when it comes to AI search. They also want to call it all different terms, but fundamentally, and we do another podcast, and we had a returning friend of the show. He's become a friend of mine. He is one of the top SEO experts in the US, and in his SEO community, he is seen as one of the top experts. And you can tell he's an expert, can't you? And he's fought against a lot of this misinformation. But one of the one thing is proven in AI search is if your website is slow, AI will not index it. There are agents. I'm not going to go in to the misinformation that they index it. They have indexed everything because they haven't. But when they're doing a fan out and they're actually going outside memory to actually look what's out there, because it's not in their memory, they're indexed, and their index is a lot smaller than Google. That's when they go out and do a fan out. If your site's slow, when they do that fan out, they're not going to bring any information back. So it's dire, absolutely dire. Right, I think we end it there. So, Kirk, what's the best place for people to find out more about you?
LinkedIn. I'm the only Kurt Von Onen there, easy to find. And our business is Manana No Mas, so mananonomas.com. Or you can reach out to me through the WP Tonic team.
And if you're looking for a great hosting platform and a real partner for your membership community, and WordPress and the attraction of owning your intellectual property, having the maximum control over your website, having to adapt your process, and having the freedom to utilize AI to build new functionality out, have a look at WP Tonic. We love you to become a partner with us. We will be back next week with hopefully a great topic. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.